All right, good afternoon, everybody. Great morning and afternoon of fights here at Perth Arena. First and foremost, just like to say thanks to a few people, the Western Australian government, and specifically Tourism Western Australia, that allowed us and enabled us to get to Perth for the first time and WA for the first time. A few key shout-outs to the Premier Mark McGowan, Minister of Sport Mick Murray, and of course the Minister of Tourism Paul Papalia. Attendance tonight was 12,437. The gate was $3.6 million Australian, which happens to be the highest grossing sports event here at the Perth Arena. In terms of bonuses, the fight of the night went to Jake Matthews and Leach. Performance bonuses went to Formiga and Izzy Adesanya. I'd like to open up now for any questions to the media or anyone else in attendance.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, sir. How are you?
We heard that Yoel was possibly not going to be attending the post-fight media. What's his status currently?
We've had a few transports tonight. Rockhold, Romero, Ben Wynn, Maestro, Luke Chimo, Wilkinson, and Hirota. So at this point, Yoel will not be here.
Obviously a great event down here in Perth. Now that it's all said and done, looking back at the early start and just all, I suppose, logistics around it all, how did it all go down and did it sort of meet your expectations?
It far exceeded expectations. Aussies and the Kiwis performed well. The crowd was loud. The arena was packed. All week was an exceptional fight week here in Perth. The city's beautiful, very hospitable. Everyone had a lot of fun. The weather was perfect. And in working with some of the groups here, whether our partners or with Tourism Western Australia, I'm not sure if you saw much of the broadcast, but you know, the scenics that we showed on the broadcast that showed how beautiful Perth is, we'd love to be back at some point. There's no doubt about that.
Obviously, you guys are working very hard to put this event on here. How much of a blow to the card was it in that last moment with Romero missing Wade? And we heard that negotiations were going up until very late. And how exactly was that like for you?
I think for us, you know, it's never good when fighters make weight or when fighters miss weight. And so I think, you know, it takes a bit away from the main event. I'm glad that the main event fight continued, obviously. I thought the fight itself was pretty dynamic. You know, first round, they kind of sussed each other out. And Romero was pretty emphatic. I mean, that was a pretty decisive win. So in the end, I think, you know, you look at the composition of the main card, and other than the Mark fight, which obviously wasn't the result that our fans or that the fans here wanted to see, the main card was on fire. I mean, some of the finishes and some of the performances, especially the Jake Matthews and Leach fight, were exceptional.
Are you able to tell us, was there any stipulation whether Romero could not weigh past a certain point on fight night?
I don't believe those discussions were had, no.
Just on Romero, what do you think is next for him? I know you're not really in a position to matchmake, yep. But you know, it seems like he may be injured. He may be out for a while. We don't really know that yet. Chris Wyburn's obviously here. He's saying earlier how he would jump in if something like that happened. Yep. What do you think is next for Romero? And would there be any hesitation to put him in an immediate title fight given the weight situation?
The weight situation, I don't think that's going to play into it. I think we've got a few factors that are going to allow us for some time. And first and foremost, it's that Rob, you know, can't really fight for a few months. So there's a bit of time to figure out what happens in the middleweight division. I don't know the specifics of Romero. He's as I mentioned, he's been transported. But, you know, this is something for Dana to figure out next week with Sean and Mick.
Sure. Just last thing on early on Wayne's.
Yep.
Obviously, people notice here in Australia and New Zealand, no early Wayne's. Are you able to just explain for those wondering why that is? Why no maybe late Wayne's on a Friday night?
Well, the commission has a rule that the Wayne's have to happen approximately 24 hours before the first bout. So we're just adhering to their rules. I think we put it at a point that allowed fighters to, you know, cut weight in the evening, wake up, cut weight again for a few more hours. And other than Romero, everyone seemed, everyone weighed in other than Formiga, who was, I think, 0.2 of a pound over. So from our perspective, you know, the Friday night weigh-ins are great from an entertainment standpoint. Gives a bit more time for possibly fighters to rehydrate. But in working with the WA Commission, this was something that we needed to follow.
A couple of quick things. Just how much of an asset would you say, regarding the Aussie guys, guys like, say, Tai Tuivasa, Tyson Pedro, Jake Matthews, and Mark Hunt, to the market, I imagine they'd be huge. And also, what's the decision process between sort of keeping him here and drawing a local card, or sorry, local fans, as opposed to putting him on international cards where they're going to get new exposure?
So a couple things. I mean, first, you saw and heard how electric it was when Ty won. And so you balance the local talent to not only help sell tickets and build the brand here, but you balance that with some global stars like Luke and Romero to make sure that if you're a casual fan or you're hardcore, you're getting sort of a good composition of both the local and international stars. I think for those guys in particular, having guys like Tyson and Ty, who have dynamic personalities, and I think Tyson's post-fight speech was one of the best that I'd ever heard. So having those guys and the character that they've got, how good they are with fans, most importantly, how engaged they are, the interviews that they give you guys in media, we've got a lot to build off of. And then you look at other stars like Jake Matthews, who have had a few ups and downs, but has a very bright future as well. So I guess the specifics to your question is, we want to make sure that we are treating the local fans, but rather than it being a matter of geography, it's more a matter of platform. Like, getting those guys on a big stage, like a pay-per-view event, is pretty important because these events have the cachet and are seen in many different countries around the world. So a bit of a meandering response, but I think you get the point about us needing to build key athletes everywhere to make sure that our brand extensions continue to fly.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Last quick thing for me, when's the next one? A lot of Australians are obviously wondering when the next one is. We're hearing potentially November. Is that true? And also, how do you see Perth as a market? Will the UFC return to Perth?
So first question, we haven't finalized anything for the remainder of the year in terms of another event in Australia. That November date for the past couple years has worked really well. Good time of year. We don't have to compete with footy, rugby. It's after the cricket. So for us, it's a good time. Weather's great, obviously. So we don't have anything, in the works yet, but we'll certainly be back.
Dave, over here.
Yes, sir.
I just want to get your thoughts on Israel Adesanya. Obviously, yeah. He showcased himself as quite the performer today. He's a Nigerian, lives in New Zealand, and he can also speak a bit of Chinese. So how important would he be to you in various markets going forward?
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty exciting fighter. And I'm not sure if you had a chance to speak with him this week, but he's a pretty interesting guy. He's got a great story. I think we were most impressed with the way that he competed tonight. Got up really quickly when he was taken down. He was sort of a bit unpredictable in the way that he moved around the octagon, and it was a great performance. I think there's the ceiling's pretty high for him. I know our guys, especially Dana and Mick and Sean, are very bullish on the potential with him. So if he can sort of transcend language and geography and culture and is a guy that will resonate with people all around the world, that's it's even better story. But at the core of it, he seems like an incredible athlete.
Dave, you mentioned that you'd like to come back. Is that a guarantee that you will eventually? Is there a time frame on that?
First and foremost, no guarantees, but we would absolutely love to come back. I mean, this week went very, very well. The Perth Arena was great. As I mentioned, government, great. Fans were unbelievable. We will certainly be back. It's a market that's very important for us. Also, Mark, when you look at the time zone that we're in right now and the importance of markets, like Singapore and Southeast Asia, like Shanghai and mainland China, it makes a lot of sense for people in this region of the world. So we will certainly be back here. I just can't give you a time frame at this point.
12 months ago, cage fighting was banned here in WA. How's Perth viewed through the eyes of the US?
The eyes of the UFC?
Yeah.
I mean, just going back to what I was saying a second ago, I think it's, first of all, we know there's a lot of fans here. We have been hearing it for a long time that we need to get to WA. And it wasn't for lack of effort. It was just a matter of circumstance and the political sphere prevented us from coming. So we've got the fan base. The arena is fantastic. I mean, all the pieces are in place. We'll definitely be back.
Is there any potential of Australia versus New Zealand Ultimate Fighter at any point in the future?
I guess always the potential, but no idea whether that would come together. It seems to make sense. There's a lot of quality athletes from both countries. Just at this point, we've got no plans on that.
Just touching on a question from earlier as to what comes next, would it make sense that Romero is next in line to take on Whittaker, even though he didn't make weight here and we don't know the exact circumstances about his injury?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I'm kind of not the right guy to answer that question. It seems to make intuitive sense. Number one and number two competing. We're not for the misstep on the weight. You know, he'd have interim belt. So, I mean, all those things line up. And, you know, Rob's likely going to be on the shelf for another few months. And so at some point, I don't see it's, you know, out of the question. I just don't know. Right? It's not up to me.
And how long can Rob be on the shelf for? Like, when does it reach a point where he has to forfeit his belt?
I'm not sure I know the answer to that question. I don't know if the injuries that he sustained will keep him on the shelf for longer than, you know, 9 to 12 months, but, you know, you just don't know. I think our hope, I mean, we want our biggest stars to be able to compete 2 or 3 times a year. And we missed out on February with Rob. And so if we can get him to fight at some point, maybe June, July, August, then maybe he can turn again and fight at the end of the year. So that's our hope.
Yeah. And Romero's injury, what's the early indication there?
Actually, I have no idea. I came from the Octagon to up here, and I don't know if we even have the details on the staff here. He was transported, so they'll take a look at him, and we'll know more in, I don't know, maybe an hour or two.
Hey, Dave, just wondering.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks. Just wondering if that attendance of 12,437 represents a sellout or not.
Not a sellout, very close to a sellout, but again, the highest grossing sports event at Perth Arena.
And sorry to focus on the negative, but there were some concerns in the media here in WA that with beer available from the morning, full-strength beer, you know, some conceptions about
full-strength
bands. Yes.
Nice.
There'd be problems. There'd be, you know, rowdy fans. Did you hear anything like that? Not
that I'm aware of, no. I mean, the crowd seemed great. You guys can tell. Usually when something, an altercation happens in the stands, everyone turns around to watch, and I didn't see that happen tonight. So other than that, I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Have you had any feedback from above about how this event went, given it's the first one in a new city?
And by above, you mean from Dana?
Or his people like him.
Or people like him. I haven't. I haven't spoken to Dana. Mick Maynard was here, and he was speaking to Dana all night, so I'm not sure. I mean, like everyone knows, we've been speaking to our teams back in Las Vegas all week, and so everyone knows what an exceptional week it's been. So there's no doubt that everyone there has the same feelings that we do actually here on the ground.
Just lastly, you've been to a bunch of different UFC events. Did anything stick out to you about this venue or the fans? Anything that you can single out? I saw, for example, a couple of tweets saying, are they feeding fake crowd noise into the audio? So it must have sounded quite loud.
I don't think so. I mean, the only thing that really stands out, you know, other than the crowd being very loud, being very educated and knowledgeable, I mean, you could tell when there was low points in fights, it was quiet, and when there was some moments of action, people got out of their chairs. I mean, that's sort of how our fans are universally. But the crowd did seem very educated. I think what was impressive to us was the place was full very early. I mean, our first bout was at 7:30 local time, and so to have an arena that was very quickly up to 70, 80, 90% occupancy in the first, you know, hour of our show being live, that's pretty impressive.
Hey, Dave.
How you doing?
Just wondering, Melbourne was obviously headlined by 2 female title fights. Is there any reason that we didn't have any female fights on the bill today?
No reason of any significance. It's probably just a matter of just, you know, number of females who are booked in the next little while. But would have been nice to, you know, have maybe Jessie Jess, but she just fought. But no, I mean, no real reason other than, you know, this was just the way the card was composed. Nothing to read into it, I guess, is my point.
And your detailed performance of the night and best fight, from your point of view, who do you think was the standout and your favorite fight from the night?
Mine personally?
Yeah.
I mean, the way that Ty came in with the elbows And you know, some of the big shots up against the cage, that was probably the most impressive. I really enjoyed watching Izzy fight. It was nice to see Jake Matthews bounce back. And then, you know what, nice to see Ross Pearson get back in the W column. So, I mean, there are a variety of things to be excited about. Okay. Thanks, everybody. We hope to see you soon.
Hey, Curtis, congratulations on the win here at UFC 221. Talk to us about early on in the fight where Mark landed some significant strikes. What was going on in your head? And talk to us about the sequence where you took him down.
When he landed those heavy strikes, he definitely rocked me. My vision went black for like 2 seconds, and I knew I heard my corner men screaming takedown. I knew I should get the takedown, and that's why he was able to get up so quickly. I wasn't really like in it, so I got the takedown. It gave me enough time just to recover, and then from there I kind of knew my range, and I knew where not to be. So from there I knew I had to continue with the takedowns. I knew it would gas him out and help me get the W.
You compared him to a legend like Michael Jordan. What's it feel like? I mean, you have a win over a legend now in MMA.
It feels great. I hope I start getting the respect I deserve. I hope I get in the UFC video game. Like that feels like a big bummer. Like, how am I not in the game? Two of the guys I've already beat, Mark Hunt and Alexei Oleinik, are both in the game, and I'm not. So I feel like that's a bit disrespectful, but hopefully that I guess remedied.
Apart from the game, what other indicators did you have that you weren't really getting the respect that you deserved? Did you feel from fans, from other fighters? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Oh, the fans. You guys got some good fans out here. They love their Mark Hunt. Yeah, I'm not even going to get into that. No.
Of course, it's a big, big win. Mark Hunt is a huge name. It's still early on, but now that you've got this big momentum going on behind you, what are you thinking next? I mean, the next opponent would be a big one.
Anyone in the top five, Kane, Alistair, Verdum. I'm not going to call anyone out. I haven't earned that right. I know I'm still young, but I do want to get on the Chicago card. That's the only thing I will ask for. I want to get on that Chicago card. I want to feel this. I want to have my fans screaming my name, booing my opponent.
It's interesting that you mentioned Kane, because we're still waiting on finding out who his opponent would be. A lot of people are excited to see him return. Are you putting your hand up to possibly be his opponent?
That's not what I do. I'm just saying anyone ranked above me is worthy. I'm literally only 26 years old. I'm just ranked in the top 10. I'll take whoever they give me.
Hey, Curtis, obviously a little bit of a change of platform here fighting in Perth. What was it like fighting so early in the day? Imagine that's a bit different for you.
Yeah, that was different. Waking up, I usually wake up around like 11, and I have a couple hours to chill, get my mind right. So that was a bit different, but we persevered. I had to go through the same thing all the fighters that travel here went through, and half of us made it, half of us couldn't, so I'm happy to be on the half that did make it.
Was there anything different that you had to do during the week? Like, were you going to bed extremely early, or was it just as usual?
I couldn't help but go to bed. The first 2 or 3 days, I was passing out around 6-7 o'clock, getting up at like 4 or 5, and I tried to like slowly prolong my bedtime until I could get it to like 11. Like last night, I went to bed at 11. I woke up today at like 6, which was the best I could do.
You touched on that moment where Mark Hunt landed some big shots on you. I guess how much confidence does that give you, being able to survive that? And did you learn something about yourself in this fight, maybe your chin, maybe your toughness? Did you prove something to yourself?
I knew what I already knew. I debuted against Francis Ngannou, who is the heavy. I will give him that. He is the heaviest hitter I've ever faced. He is harder than Mark Hunt. No disrespect to Mark Hunt. They both hit hard, but we're splitting hairs here, but Ngannou hits harder. And I already knew I had a chin. I've taken shots from everyone. I get hit. I don't have the best head movement. I'm a wrestler, so I get hit a lot. I know I have a chin. I know I have heart. I'm a wrestler. We all have heart. So I didn't really learn anything else new. I knew I belonged already. I'm just hoping everyone else learns something new about me.
When you were naming some of those names in the top five, one of the names that you didn't mention was Francis Ngannou. How important is it for you to get that rematch and sort of avenge that loss?
every match will happen. I'm not going to horse it. I don't have to beg for it. We're both one of the young – well, he's like 5 years older than me, but we're both one of the younger heavyweights in the division right now. And I know the UFC, he's looking to have exciting matchups, and it has a storyline. We're both – he's French, I'm American. It just creates itself. It's going to happen. Not Russian.
You mentioned respect before. Do you feel like if you guys did rematch, obviously you were the betting favorite in the first fight. Do you think that you'd be, I guess, a lot more leaned in? I guess you'd be more of a favorite in this one, given how his last fight played out, and given the excellent wrestling that you displayed in this fight.
Maybe, but that's not for me to worry about betting. I don't bet, and favorite or not, doesn't matter. You have to go in there and do what you have to do. So I don't really think about none of that stuff. But if we do fight, I do believe I'm going to win the fight.
A couple of things for me. Also, do you feel like, you know, you being a young guy in the division, in a division that's obviously filled with a lot of veterans, is sort of exactly what the heavyweight division needs right now?
Yeah, I feel like every division's going like generational cycles. We've had the Frank Mir, Brock Lesnar, Alistair, all those guys. They're all nearing the end. Some of them are already gone, like the Roy Nelsons and the Barnetts, but there's a couple of them still hanging around, but I think it's time for the next wave to get in there and make names for ourselves.
Awesome. Congrats. How are you going to celebrate tonight? Any plans?
I'm getting drunk. I don't know where.
Hey, guys. Your strategy seemed to be that you were happy to stand on your feet with Mark at the beginning, and then it's when you got tagged that you went back to the wrestling. And then that seemed to be the strategy for the rest of the fight. Did Mark tagging you change your strategy for the rest of the fight, or was that always going to be kind of what the game plan you had?
That was always my game plan. I am not a fool. I had no aspirations of standing and trying to bang with Mark Hunt so he can knock my head off. That was always the game plan. I am the better wrestler. Why not use it? And I trained in Denver. We're a mile up in the air. There's no elevation here in Perth. I knew I'd be the better conditioned athlete. I knew wrestling would gas him out a lot faster than standing and banging at his own pace. So I wanted to dictate where we went. On the feet, he's a lion. On the ground, I'm a shark. I wanted to drag him into deep waters. That's what I did.
And you mentioned Chicago. There's been a lot of injuries from this card. Are you fully healthy, ready to return?
There's a slight tweak in my knee, but I'm hoping to get a couple weeks off, get some recovery on it, and get back to training. But yeah, I want to get on that Chicago card. I feel like I was passed over after I lost to Ngannou. He got to fight in Chicago against Bojan's something, and he destroyed him. And I just feel like that was my spot. Had I beat Ngannou my debut fight, I would have been in Chicago. I haven't been home since, I haven't had a fight at home since 2014. It's been a long, long time. I really want to go home and fight.
Thank you very much. How are we?
Tyson. Yes, sir. Back in, man.
Yes, sir.
Mate, can you talk us through that Kimura that you used to finish the fight?
Yeah, at first he was going deep for the takedown. I think I was almost in full splits trying to keep his hands apart. Blocked it, trying to get in with the arm, and I felt him release his hands a bit, and it just popped that elbow right up. And at first I was just going for a reversal, but ended up trying to take his arm home with me.
Is it true that you've not really practiced it at all? It's just something that you saw and you took?
I do it for a sweep a lot, but I could feel him letting it go. I don't think he was expecting it. And then when I actually mistook the claps. I heard a clap and I thought that was the last 10 seconds, so I thought I've got to rip it off here.
You and Ty have attracted such great support so quickly in your UFC careers. How does that feel to know that you've become such a crowd favourite so early?
Man, to be honest, I thought that crowd favourite was going to get us both the bonuses. I'm still a little bit disappointed, I just heard. It's awesome, but it would have been nice. I thought I was going to get at least walk out of the night performance.
Tyson, you called out Joe Rogan at the end there. It was in a pretty great end of the fight speech. Have you heard anything back from him yet?
Nah, I saw it's been gone nuts on Twitter. I thought that was a little bit of a joke. I thought it was funny. But yeah, eventually I want to get on there. I've got a lot more to do before I get on there, but I'll be on there soon.
No worries.
And if not, we'll have him on the Halfcast podcast.
And the first three fighters, yourself, Ty and Matthews, you guys all put on an incredible performance representing Australia. Unfortunately, Mark Hunt didn't get the win. Do you have any thoughts on that fight?
Man, that guy just looked heavy as hell. Awesome wrestler. Mark almost clipped him, but that's the fight game. You win some, you lose some. So you're on to the next one. I know Mark will bounce back. He's a true fighter.
And any word on your next guest for the Halfcast podcast?
We've got a couple to release first. But yeah, there's a few names up there. Tim Cahill, I heard, wants to get on. So that would be cool. There's a few names out there that we'll be getting on. The Rock will be on soon, so it doesn't matter.
Who chooses the bonuses, actually? I'm actually burning about that. I'm like, are you not entertained? What more do you want?
Just wondering, Tyson, you mentioned that you had an injury going into this fight. Was it going into the fight or during the fight?
Going into.
So what was the injury?
I tore the cartilage in my ribs. So it's been killing me all week. Everyone's asking, how's your rib? I was like, yeah, perfect, let's go. I can't pull out. Wasn't going to let the crowd down.
Did you? I mean, I know the crowd obviously brings a lot of pressure. Did you ever think about it at all, pulling out? Did it bother you during the fight?
Yeah, he kneed straight on it. So I took the wind out of me, but it doesn't matter. Everyone goes into the... I'd never really go in 100%, so just push through.
Do you think you could have gone on and kept fighting, or was there in the back of your mind, did you sort of think you need to finish the fight quickly because it's bothering you?
No, not for a second. I was ready for a three rounder, but why go for three rounds when you can go for one?
Yeah, you had the ankle wraps on. Were you potentially expecting this to be a big ground battle and maybe preparing for what he was going to do on top?
I've been kicking a lot of elbows lately, so when at training, so I've started wearing them, and it's just more comfortable, a little bit of ankle support.
You spoke before the fight about not really wanting to game plan and sort of study a lot of tape, which is something that's very focused on down at Jackson Winkle Johns. And did you feel that sort of, you know, being yourself, and when you spoke to us before, you didn't really know much about your opponent, or at least that's what you said. Did you feel like that allowed you to be more yourself in this fight and sort of express yourself better?
Yeah, every time I think I'm bringing a better version of myself. I felt light. There was a couple mistakes that I made. I got caught in there a little bit, but not hard. He had heavy hands, but I think he just wanted to knock me out too much. And then when he felt my hand speed, he really ran that takedown. So like I said, I thought he was going to just try and grab straight away, but like that's why I don't watch too much tape. You don't know what they're going to bring out, so figure it out in there, and I enjoy that.
You were undefeated before your last fight. Now here you pick up a really big win and exciting finish. How quickly do you want to rise through the ranks of the division? Is there anybody on your mind? Are you sort of targeting maybe the top 15 or top 10 and sort of, you know, want to get in there quickly, or are you happy to just take your time, sort of develop as a fighter?
All of them. Everyone in the light heavyweight division, I'm here to fight the best, and I want to be number one, so that's whoever comes in front of me. But I definitely want to just, I'm not in a rush. I've got my goal of what I want to do, so I'll just be dragging it out and making sure it happens in the long run.
You and Ty were having a contest between entrance music. You had your usual, he had Horses by Daryl Braithwaite. Who do you think won?
I won for sure. He knows I did. 100%. They used the wrong version for him. It was like a funeral walkout for him. So it was the crowd went nuts. I loved it, man. I knew they were going to get behind it, and they did. It was an awesome experience, and I was still trying not to get too pumped up because they were that loud that I was getting shakes and goosebumps, and that's always dangerous waiting for that dump.
Just lastly, on the Joe Rogan podcast, what makes you want to get on so badly? And have you ever met Joe and spoken to him about it in the past?
I just love his podcast, and that's pretty much what made us start our one. So why not go to the source? But yeah, I've met him when I was in, when I fought in Vegas against Paul Craig.
Of course, the interview. Congrats on the win.
Thank you very much, brother.
That's good.
Short and sweet.
Thank you, guys.
Hey Tyson, congratulations on the win. Obviously a little bit disappointed about the bonus, as Tyson was just mentioning it before.
What more do you want us to do?
We saw you did a shoey at the end there. I want to ask, whose shoe was it? Was it a mate? Was it someone random from the crowd?
I should have got 50k just for the shoey.
Was it a random shoe?
Of course it's a random shoe. Wow. Anybody's shoe.
Can I ask what drink it was?
It was a Jimmy too. It made me feel good.
Obviously, Cyril went into this fight. It took a lot of your shots. What did you think about him being able to take so many of your hard shots?
Tough dude. Real tough dude. Much respect to Cyril.
Were you surprised by how many of your shots he was able to take and that he was still standing for a really long time?
Surprised I didn't get the 50K.
Are you going to be chasing that up? You came in here before looking for Mick Maynard.
Mickey, come on, bro. What's the goes? Should have got it, don't you reckon?
Do you think you'll speak to him after this?
I think he gapped there.
The entrance song, Horses, why that song?
They actually played the wrong version. They played the funeral version, but the faster one was what I was going for. But Horses is a, you know, Darrell Braithwaite is an Australian classic, and I'm on home soil, and the fans love it. So do I.
Is it true you and Tyson are having a bit of a contest? Who had the better walkout? Who had the better entrance music?
Come on, bro. You know I'm always got the better ones. Nah, it's not a contest. But, you know, we say what we're going to do. We go out there. I think we both should have got performance of the night. I think everyone else thought we should have got performance of the night. But old mate nearly ripped someone's bloody arm off. And, like, I elbowed old bud back to France. And fucking nothing, you know what I mean? Now I've got to go home and cry all night.
When you were throwing shots at Cyril and, you know, really landing on him, in the back of your mind, were you sort of conscious of not punching yourself out, or was that not really a factor for you?
No, I took my time. I knew after the first couple, I was like, damn, this guy's strong. But I knew if I butted the body up a little bit, it's all going to come. I don't think there'll be many people to be able to stand in front of me for a while, but I trained hard, you know, so, and I prepared hard and I got in there and did what I did and still didn't get 50K.
What did you think of the stare down when you and him locked eyes at the media day stare down? You were very, very relaxed and he looked like he was trying to get serious.
Yeah, I don't really do too well at stare downs. Like I either like just look away or like I just like, fuck, let's fight. Like I don't want to stand, I don't like it. I'm pretty happy kind of guy, so. But he was all right. I shook his hand that before the, like, I don't really care. We're going to get in the cage anyway. Doesn't matter to me, so.
You've only had two fights in the UFC, but two big finishes, the crowd's loving you. How much of an impact do you think you've made so far in just two fights?
Fuck, at least 50K impact.
Are you?
But anyway.
Looking at. Going into this fight, there was a few fighters that apparently turned down fights with you, apparently six fighters. Are you concerned that the way you're finishing opponents, you might keep running into that problem in the future?
But I don't really care. We're going to fight. Everyone's going to run into each other. As long as I prepare myself, I'm going to rock up and fight. Doesn't matter who.
Just last thing for me, what did you think of the Mark Hunt fight? Obviously, a lot of Australian fans disappointed. Tyson was speaking about it before. What did you think of that one?
Yeah, I know, gutted for Mark, you know. It's shit to watch a teammate lose. But Mark was still in high spirits when he come out, you know. Blades did good. Oh, boring, but, like, good. But he did well, and that's the fight game, eh?
He didn't want to call anyone out. Are you interested in a fight with Blades, potentially, sort of avenging the loss for Mark?
Oh, I heard he said something about me after it, but then I asked him about it, and then he didn't. I don't know. So, if he's fighting five and then he wants to fight a nobody, I don't really care. That's good enough for me. But, like I said, everyone's going to run into each other anyway. We're part of the younger crew of the heavyweights, so I'll see everyone. Everyone will.
Do you feel like you guys are kind of what the division needs? You and Curtis Blades, you're both really young guys, and the division's obviously full of guys that are already veterans, and some of them are on the way out. Do you feel like that's kind of what the division needs?
Well, they need me. Fuck, the division's boring. They're all, like, there's heavyweights fighting for, like, three rounds. I think it's boring. It's shit. Like, what happened to the days of going out there and giving what the people want to see, you know, some blood and the rest of it, but suppose everyone doesn't want to get a one on their record, you know, but I don't really care. I want to go out there and put a show on for the fans.
Congrats on the win.
Cheers, bro.
Just curious, when you mentioned you spoke to Curtis and you heard that he called you out, when did you speak to him? Was it just before backstage?
Just then, in the green room. Oh, I just heard someone said, oh, he was saying he wanted to fight the kid from the air, and I said, bro, what's up? And he was like, no, I was angry. So I was like, well, the handbrakes, I smelled some handbrakes. But like I said, I don't really care. I'll fight in a cage, out the back, wherever.
Ty, just before when you're saying that you wouldn't, you know, you don't mind going in and taking a shot to give one, is that part of what you think makes you a great fighter or a very promising up and coming fighter?
What did I say?
When you said that, you know, heavyweights aren't as keen to go in and just trade shots anymore because they're scared of losing.
Oh, I just think, you know, back in the day, I used to watch fights and, you know, that, you know, you just come out there. I don't know. I don't know if it's, there's no more steroids around or I don't know. Is there no more, I don't know. But, yeah, I'm not afraid to, you know, I'm not afraid to throw down and I'm definitely not afraid to lose. I think you're in the wrong sport if you win some, you lose some.
I know it's still early days, but have you thought about what's going to be next for you?
I just want to keep getting paid, but this time I didn't, so... I don't really care. Obviously, like I've always said, we're all going to run into each other sooner or later. So,
Just here, Ty. So, Cyril Laska, he took a lot of punishment today. Is that the most damage you've ever done to someone?
No comment. No.
Thanks.
50K? Sway, bro. I was backstage. Ty, everything.
You've spoken about the after party. What shenanigans do you expect to get up to tonight, mate?
Next question. About the after party, if you're around, get down there. Crown. We're done. Someone give me 50K. Thank you.